Chapter 37.
Listen, I would take a whisper if that's all you had to give. But it isn't, you could come and save me and try to chase it crazy right out of my head.
Breathing deeply through his nose, Yan focused on the warm, floral scent of his tea. Or, at least, he tried to. Instead, the memory of his first supervised meeting with his most difficult Padawan since he had returned to the Coruscant Temple attempted to drag his rage up from where he had locked it into a tiny little box at the back of his mind from the moment he had discovered what Qui-Gon had done. While their apprenticeship had its issues, regardless of the fact that towards the end, Yoda was teaching Qui-Gon more than he was, he never would have expected his own Padawan to treat a youngling the way he had. Yet another harsh lesson, perhaps, in what a student is capable of. Here, resting in the gardenscape of Sereno, surrounded by lush vegetation and the occasional chirp of small creatures, peace filling the entire clearing, Yan allowed himself to slowly open that box. Incoherent anger flooded him, and Yan clenched his jaw before reaching to the force around him. Clean crispness soothed the edges of his shields, and he began the difficult task of meditating on his rage and his Padawan. Once he felt as though he would no longer be in danger of crushing his teacup to dust in his hands, Yan reached for it, eyes still closed, and cradled it between his palms. The heat helped ease some of the remaining tension from his shoulders, if not his heart. One Padawan lost to her own infatuation, another lost to his own grief and uncaring attitude. Some dark part inside of him thought it would be a fitting punishment to Qui-Gon to repudiate him as he had repudiated so many of his own Padawans. Yan pushed it away for the moment. Something to bring up to the mind healers if Qui-Gon decided to continue being difficult in their services. And oh, was Qui-Gon spitting mad when Yan went to see him in his new rooms, eyes flashing with his anger at his perceived unjust treatment. Nothing Yan had to say to him banked those flames. Not that he was surprised about that, he never knew how to truly speak to Qui-Gon, even as a child. It always seemed as if the two of them were both speaking the same language, but everything they said was meant differently, opposite sides of the same coin. He took a sip of tea, letting it wash across his tongue in an attempt to distract from the growing anger. Maybe he would calm Rael. Out of their entire lineage, he would be the one to understand the most. If nothing else came from their conversation about what Qui-Gon's done now, at least Yan would have someone to share his anger with. And would Rael be furious with Qui-Gon? To harm a child to the extent that he had done is inexcusable, and Yan privately thinks Yoda deserves to wallow in his guilt for the rest of his life for his meddling. From what little he had seen of Kenobi in the creche, the child had been bright, joyful, a shining star like the rest of their younglings, their beloved future. He hadn't been given the chance to see Kenobi once Qui-Gon took him on, something he knows Qui-Gon planned, because if he had truly seen the way his grand Padawan was being treated, but he had not. Not buried as he had been in his grief and confusion over Komari and the disaster of Galadron. So there was nothing he could have done, not halfway across the galaxy in the midst of his Watchmen tenure, but it was difficult to swallow that thought. If he had been on better terms with his Padawan, would he have acted differently? Would the loss of Xanatos have been dulled by the bonds of lineage and support? Would Qui-Gon's sharp words about his own master have convinced Kenobi to reach out to his grandmaster instead? Instead, his grand Padawan chose to suffer alone, untrusting of the very adults who should have been caring for him, and Yan's heart ached. Kenobi had been stiff meeting with him, and the way he wanted to be anywhere but there had been apparent in the way his eyes would routinely flit to the windows and doors. Yan had attempted to be open with the youngling, condemning Qui-Gon's actions in soft words that did nothing to relax the tension in his shoulders. Even Master Koon, sitting beside his new Padawan, was aware of the mistrust if the resigned air about him was to be believed. It would take time for the youngling to believe him, but that was all right. Yan would do what he could to ease the sting of Qui-Gon's actions, if Kenobi and his masters allowed it. But until then, there was nothing he could do aside from attempt to control himself when meeting with Qui-Gon, and deal with the anger from those meetings alone. Breathing in deeply through his nose, Yan focused on the floral scent of his tea, and slowly opened his eyes. Sitting across from him, cool as could be, was Windu's Padawan. Yan took the moment to simply study the child. Then, shoulders back, Antilles was as still as a master in the depths of serious meditation. His dark hair had been pulled back into a careful bun, his Padawan braid laying over his shoulder and against his chest, colorful beads bright against the bland beige of his tunic. The way that his bun clearly drew attention away from his eyes and instead to the scars on his face, Yan knew was intentional. Fascinating. Pale eyes were carefully looking back at him, but the strange combination of childish innocence from his small size and the severe intensity to his gaze were enough to slightly, just slightly, knock Yan off center. If he hadn't just come from the meeting with Qui-Gon, or from his only mildly effective meditation on his feelings about it, Antilles would not have been able to do so. But he had. Another intentional act to get the closest to the most unstable emotional state a venerated Jedi Master could be at. Pride swelled for a moment, and Yan could not help but wonder who Antilles had learned this vicious slyness from, his former master or Master Windu. Any other thoughts he might have had on the matter were broken just as the stifling silence around them, with Antilles' quiet voice. "What are your intentions toward Padawan Kenobi?" Yan blinked at the blatant demand. For a moment, little Antilles resembled none other than Qui-Gon when he was much, much younger, questioning why he had been chosen as a student over others in his creche group. Silently, he resolved never to imply anything of the sort to either Kenobi or Antilles. "If he will allow it, I wish to show Padawan Kenobi that not everyone in my lineage wishes him harm." Yan resisted the urge to smile when Antilles narrowed his eyes at that, and continued, "Again, if he is willing, then I would impart with him my knowledge of Makashi." Antilles thought over his words, still pinning Yan with that sharp gaze, much like that of a hunting Nexu stalking its prey. Such an interesting dichotomy for such a tiny child. "And if he does not allow it," Antilles' voice was rough, yet unbending with the steel behind his words, as if he were bracing for a blow he knew was coming. Leaking into the Force, Yan could taste the bitter tang of barely healed betrayal alongside the searing distrust Antilles had for adults. He knew that Antilles had been harmed by his former master, but to see and feel the effects even now was saddening. "Then I will part ways with him." Lifting a hand to fend off the disbelieving scoff from Antilles at that, Yan leveled his own stern look at the Padawan in front of him. "I will not lie and say I would not be disappointed at the inability to bond with who should have rightfully been my grand Padawan in a better life. But nothing is more important than the comfort and safety of our children. If Padawan Kenobi wishes to never see me again, then I will do my best to honor that wish." Once again, pale eyes narrowed and Antilles stared at him hard. For one fleeting moment, it felt as if he was being peeled apart layer by layer, even when he knew that all Antilles was doing was prodding at his outermost shields, testing his emotions. The fact that Antilles was even allowing him to feel his intent poking was telling of what he had expected to happen in this engineered meeting. Antilles hummed in consideration before giving a sharp jerk of his chin in apparent approval. "All right." If only that approval didn't feel razor sharp, liable to cut down to bone if Yan acted wrong, yet about as fragile as the bones of a freshly born Tuca kit. A Padawan managed to get his point across with barely saying a word. Somewhat snidely, Yan thought most of the council could take a lesson from this little Padawan. He couldn't help the curl of his mouth when Antilles nodded at him in an abbreviated bow, insulting to anyone else if Yan hadn't been able to read the respect in that tiny body, before leaving the small garden without a word. Now that was purely mace. Obi-Wan shifted uneasily. He didn't particularly want to have this conversation, for all that he was the one to calm Bant to arrange it. He'd asked his friend to meet him in the planetarium after late meal. He'd told John, of course, and explained why he needed to speak with her alone. Obi-Wan had been worried that he'd be offended, but instead it was the opposite. "You need to hear it from her, I think," John said. "I keep telling you that it wasn't your fault, but it doesn't mean the same coming from me." Obi-Wan wasn't sure what he'd done to land himself such a loyal and understanding friend, but he was thankful every day regardless. His anxiety must have been more obvious than he'd hoped during late meal, because both Master Mace and Master Plo had pulled him aside afterward to ask if he was all right. They had also both hardly believed him when he reassured them that yes, he was perfectly fine. Obi-Wan wasn't quite sure what he'd done to land himself multiple adults that cared about him either, but he was learning to trust that they meant it. "Hi, Obi, what?" Bant appeared in the doorway. Unfortunately, because she was his oldest friend, it only took a single look at him for her to spy that he was upset. "What's wrong?" she cried, practically running to him. She stopped an arm's length away, clearly wanting to reach out, but stopping herself at the last moment. "Did something happen?" "I'm so sorry," Obi-Wan blurted. "It was my fault." Bant's face was blank with incomprehension for only a moment. And then, because she knew him so well, the pieces fell together. "Oh, Obi," she said sadly, "Master Tall's death wasn't your fault, you know." Against his will, Obi-Wan found his eyes welling up. He scrubbed at them angrily. "But, no buts," Bant said firmly. "My master made her own choices. I miss her every day, but there was nothing you could have done to save her. Got it?" Obi-Wan hesitated for a long moment, but, faced with her expectant stare, finally nodded. "Okay." Bant huffed and finally reached out to tug him into a hug. Obi-Wan found himself holding onto her tightly, unable to even think about loosening his arms. "Stupid humanoid," she muttered under her breath. "Idiots, the lot of you." Obi-Wan laughed wetly into her shoulder. "Careful, Bant, or I'll have to assume you're speciest." She flicked him with the force, but didn't bother to acknowledge him aloud. The longer she held him, the more Obi-Wan found himself unwinding. Tension he had been carrying for so long, practically since he'd left the creche, fell away. It's not that he hadn't seen Bant at all since his Padawanship started, but he'd barely been in the temple since Vandemir, and the longest stretch before now had been after Meladon, where he hadn't been fit to speak to anyone. Obi-Wan's eyes were far more than simply hot now. Bant must have felt him start to shake, pressed together as they were, because she trilled, high-pitched in concern. "Obi?" she asked. Obi-Wan shook his head and refused to lift his face from her shoulder. He also didn't protest when she lowered them to the ground. "Sorry," he said finally. "I just really—" "I have you, Obi," Bant said seriously. "Kaibuck Clan has you. Why didn't you tell us what was going on?" "I don't know," Obi-Wan whispered into her shoulder. "It just felt like something I needed to handle myself. I wanted so badly to be chosen as a Padawan, and it had to be my fault that things were less than ideal." He shrugged. "Besides, what could you have done about it?" Bant made a sound that was clearly trying to be a growl, but her vocal cords simply weren't capable of sustaining it. "We could have been there for you. Even if we couldn't have changed anything, we could have tried. At least you wouldn't have been alone." It would have been nice to have their support. Obi-Wan hadn't meant to isolate himself. But with the weight of Master Jin's disappointment bearing down on him all the time, picking up the comm to reach out had felt so hard. And then he started to feel more and more alone, and especially after Bruck and Tall's deaths, he felt like he deserved it. "I'm sorry," he whispered again. Bant huffed, a put-upon sound, even as she held him tighter. "I'm calling a Kaibuck Clan meeting, right now. I need the others' help hugging the stupidity out of you." Obi-Wan laughed wetly. But as Garen and Ciri and Reeft and Quinn all trickled in, and as each attempted to strangle him in a growing hug, he felt more and more settled in his skin. This was right. And maybe if John and Master Plo and Master Mace and his entire Kresh clan all believed that he hadn't deserved a thing that Master Jin had done to him, maybe he could try to believe it too. End of chapter 37.